This is the week of July the 3rd, 3309.
It's 2023!
To the Loose Screws Podcast. I am your host, Teflon 12, and I have hijacked this podcast. Commander Jay and Trax and Commander Chig are both locked in my basement, and the inmates are running the asylum. So joining me today, I would just like to say, is the Thanos of Loose Screw Space, Commander Nurgle. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. On the other side, I have the bluest guy I've ever heard of, Commander Indigo, Boobtron. Boob, how's it going?
I am thrilled to be here, gentlemen.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. How is things going this week? Have y'all's week been?
I'll talk for a little while, so I'll let Boob go first.
Oh, sure. I don't even know. Crazy. You know, it's a pseudo-holiday, weird weekend kind of thing. I've been working some, and I've been playing some, spending some time making preserves and jams and jellies and pickles and doing a little bit of baking now that it's summer. Survived the airpocalypse from this last week. Chicago was the ashtray of North America for better part of the week.
Did you say doing baking now that it's summer?
Well, no, I meant all the other stuff now that it's summer, the jams and jellies and pickled fresh
beans. So you've been doing like canning.
That. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Canning and preserving.
Canning, yep. Okay. Also some baking because, you know, while you're
baking
in the kitchen,
baking is more of a fall-winter activity, I believe.
It's too damn hot to bake.
You would think.
Well, I mean, you're down in Alabama, Nurgle. It's too hot to do anything at any point in time this year.
Heat index was only 116 today, so.
Oh, is that all?
Just another day at paradise.
Right.
So what have you been doing in game, Boob?
What have I been doing in game? It's been a while since I've been here. It's been a few weeks, I guess. Last we spoke was getting ready to do the last Buckyball race, which, for the record, little correction here, was not the last Buckyball race. Buckyball has got months of action ahead. It's still in the early part of the season, really, but it goes on for a week each month. And before the last episode was the end of the tunnelish vision, throw yourself through a small opening race. There are still five more races, something like that. But that was a couple of weeks ago. And then over the last week and a half or so, I've been in the melodiously named NGC 6188 Sector LCV C2-28 for matters that we can discuss in a little more detail later, but doing some kind of impromptu BGS stuff way out there in the black 4,500 light years from home.
A project.
Yeah, a little project.
Yeah.
How about you? What have you been
up to? It sounds like a good time.
Yeah, it has been.
A good time out in the middle of nowhere.
Way out in the middle.
In game, we had everything BGS-wise pretty much under control this time last week, so I loaded up my carrier, went out to the black, did some mining, packed on a quick 3,000 tons of platinum and some other assorted stuff.
Nice.
Got that out of my system, jumped back this afternoon, find a decent place to sell, so sold a chunk of it. So, I mean, all told, by the time everything gets sold, it'll be a billion in the bank account.
Nice.
But, out of game, last week, right as we were about to go on air, I got invaded by relatives. It was my brother-in-law. And, he's an electrical engineer. He's been working up in Boston for the past 6 months, and we didn't even know he was going to be in town, and he just showed up on our doorstep. So, kind of an important event, but I got to talking to him about what he's been doing up in Boston. He's actually working at MIT on their fusion reactor.
Goodness.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which was a really cool conversation to have. He does automation controls. And he's actually working on the system that welds all of their, quote, high temperature, unquote, superconducting tape into a coil to make an electromagnet out of it. So
that's so awesome.
Yeah, it was a really neat conversation that I only understood about every third word of.
But that's cool. I'm sure.
But it was still really cool. It was still really cool. So yeah, that's what I've had going on. How about you, Tef?
Oh, just been very busy with stuff around here. It's the summertime, so the kids are home, and there's lots of activities that we're doing, and things around, and hopefully taking a trip next month. We've been trying to get up to Lake Erie here. We're going to make it one weekend, I'm sure.
Yeah.
In game, little on foot stuff. Still trying to get the hang of it. So I'm about ready to come back and fight some Thargoids because I really want that Thargoid money and to save the galaxy. Speaking of the galaxy, I started a new Stellaris save, as a Bandit Kingdom. And I'm going to try to be the Mongols in space.
So what is the Stellaris equivalent of eating the Pope?
Eating the space Pope?
Okay, fair enough.
I don't know.
So are you gonna evolve your technology to emulate the mobility and nomadic nature of the Mongols?
Well,
and all decentralized and.
Well, I once did a Twitch stream, a series of Twitch streams where I played Stellaris as a ravenous hive mind, and we ate the galaxy. We were a ravenous swarm hive mind, and it was like cannibal or flesh eating butterflies is what it pretty much was.
Nice.
And the whole thing was to consume the other beings. So that's what we did. And we ate the galaxy, and eventually, we ate the whole galaxy and won the game.
That's 10 minutes. We're 10 minutes in, and we already got a list of good show titles.
Yeah, right? That's what Ian M. Banks would have called a hegemonizing swarm. I was like that turn of phrase. That's a good name for it.
But I'm also thinking of starting a new Crusader Kings 3, because the conversion mod for the that converts it into a Game of Thrones, puts it in the Game of Thrones world, the Song of Ice and Fire. And it changes a lot of game mechanics and things like that to really fit in with that theme. And they've put in a ton of work on that. And it looks awesome and like so much fun. I've seen some other people play it. And so, yeah, I think I'm going to start a Game of Thrones conversion on Crusader Kings 3 and check that out because that'll be fun.
That would be interesting.
There's also a really well done Mass Effect mod for Stellaris that I'll try out one of these days. But yeah, that's pretty much all that's going on here. Nothing too crazy.
Yeah, nothing too crazy. It's something you don't hear Teflon say very often.
it'll get back there, trust me.
Yeah, I know. Before too long. In rapid order, I expect.
Right.
All right, you want to go ahead and dive in and do a squad report?
Absolutely.
All right.
Do a squadron. If I could find the sound.
Incoming priority message.
Squadron briefing.
Still relatively calm in the neighborhood. We've got a war going on in the Yin T system. We do want to go ahead and win it. It's not a system we're eventually going to take over, but we're moving up, try to get a more secure spot. We are currently building up our influence in Dirac, which we just expanded into, Kama, and we want to top off a little bit in Miola. The next expansion is going to come from the Howard system we need to end the minor faction war that is going on there first. There's a lot of influence that's tied up. And I think I should have wrote this down ahead of time. I think it's 2-1 right now. So we need to go ahead and finish that. And then we've got a couple of systems that are edging up towards overheating. Nothing entirely urgent. And I know somebody has been religiously looking at that list of overheating systems and clubbing us back down where we needed to be clubbed. I would acknowledge who that person is if I knew, but whoever you are, thank you for the work you are doing out there. It's probably Borked, you know, just trolling our systems during the day like he does. But for those of you who are reading those orders that Blooming Wind puts up and doing the thankless work of preventing us from overheating in many systems, thank you for what you do. If you need more details on all the stuff that's going on in the squad, you can check out Blooming Wind's detailed standing orders post in the standing orders channel of the faction Discord.
Great.
That's
awesome.
Keep up the good work, everybody.
Yes, yes. All that BGS stuff is you all are fucking retards for doing all.
We're maniacs.
So on. Let's see. The set called Not Over Double.
Yeah. What is that about? Like I said, the Buckyball season is far from over. They do one, I guess we now do one race a month. I think it goes for 8 months. So there's 1 week basically of solid racing, and usually about a half a week, I think, before that they announce all the parameters for the race, so people start figuring out what their routes are going to be and whatnot. I think the next one is probably going to be a bit of a spreadsheet race. It's called Double Trouble and being organized by someone named Ryko, who is often among the top finishers. And in the race, they're going to do 2 locations in each of 4 systems. So we'll have to figure out what order to do them in, whether it makes sense to hit both locations in the same system on the same trip. I think it's going to end up being some crazy jumping around back and forth, because it's often faster to leave a system and come back than to traverse the system in Super Cruise. So I already know that the spreadsheet math will be insane. The people at the high level of Buckyball will go through dozens and dozens of combinations and put an incredible amount of ingenuity and
somebody will map out the orbital mechanics and figure out that it's faster to jump to a third system and then back to get a different angle. And
over the course of a week, every single one of those objects is going to move. Right. So things will go from obstructed to not. It's like if you take off from the place where you had to land and the next system you were going to go to is on the far side of the planet, your run is shot unless you have an alternate way to go, because it'll take you a minute and a half to get within sight of that other system. So
right.
As much as you have plans, the orbital mechanics have plans of their own, and there isn't a good system for simulating and tracking those other than trying each day and having to redo your route because you realize that your third jump is now obstructed. Yeah. So you really end up, you know, you have this whole network of bookmarks that you can kind of jump between and say, oh, this one's obstructed, so now I have to go this way, and that changes. So between 4 systems, 2 stops each, I suspect it's going to be a good level of complexity for that, and expect to fall about 2/3 of the way down where I have so far. But if I can get my 1 point in each category in each of the 8 races, I will not be in last place, and that's fine with me.
So far,
I've got 6 points. I have 6 runs in the 1 point club, and I'm just fine with that.
Absolutely.
In the meantime, since Alec Turner can't just sit around and relax, he uses the 3 weeks between races, it seems, to find new ways for people who fly spaceships and drive SRVs to get into trouble. And this last week, he came up with a new one, which is pretty clever and fun. It's definitely worth giving a shot next time you're in a ship with a fighter bay. The basic gist of it, he's calling it the No Time for Caution Challenge, is to get your ship up to about 5 kilometers, then turn the thrusters off and deploy yourself in an SLF. Oh, first though, you want to turn off flight assist and get the ship into some kind of a tumble, then turn the thrusters off, then launch the fighter, then spend however much time you have between getting out and your ship hitting the ground to dock in a tumbling Crate Mark II or Corvette or Anaconda or Type 9 or whatever your mothership of preference is. I know Jan Trax did it on his stream last week and made it a little too easy for himself the first time. I think he just did like a forward roll in the mothership and was able to get in. But by the end of it, he was knuckleballing down and bouncing off the surface. So it's one of those challenges where you kind of set the difficulty for yourself, but the idea behind it is very clever and makes for some cool moments.
The difficulty really challenge. Fun. Yeah. The difficulty challenge goes up exponentially once you start getting multi-axis spins.
And it's one of those things that you could probably do it with flight assist on, but I suspect matching the rotation of a tumbling ship would be a little bit easier with flight assist off. Although even then, only if you're already comfortable with it. But yeah, just one of those little barnstorming kind of things that we love when he comes up with them. So give that a shot and let us know how it works out.
And it's called No Time for Caution because of a scene in the movie Interstellar. So.
Gotcha.
Oh. Can you thread the needle before you hit the ground?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. So what is the next thing here? The consortium versus the Interstellar Mining Corps, the Rock of Isolation.
This is the as yet unnamed operation in the as yet unnicknamed system.
Okay. So is there anything for me to catch up on with that? Because I don't know.
Here's the short version.
Yes, it's fine. We don't need a college thesis.
There's a system 4,500 light years outside of the bubble. This system has two factions in it, Interstellar Mining Corporation and the Consortium. Interstellar Mining was at 99%. The Consortium was 1%. And Audaxius talked a whole bunch of people into going out there and flipping it.
Where is this?
Okay, right. So the slightly longer version now. Last spring, after an update, maybe 13, something like that, somebody on the Burr Pit noticed that there was a new high-level subject added to the Codex about the Consortium, which is an organized crime syndicate. For as much as the Codex entry, which has voice acting and everything, makes it sound like this is an important and influential organization, it somehow only operates in one system 4,500 light years from the bubble, where there's one other faction, the very generically named Interstellar Mining Corp. It's a weird little two-faction sandbox for BGS and anarchy and piracy and mining it out in the wilderness. It's a strange little thing. And the one complicating factor is that the nearest jail is appropriately named the Rock of Isolation, which is 3,400 light years, not from the bubble, but from NGC 6188, etc. So if you get yourself
from the system you go into.
Yeah. So it you only save 1,000 light years coming from home. The first day I was there, actually. So after the last Buckyball ended, I threw my alt Mr. Indigo onto a fleet carrier that I bought for the purpose and sent him out there to do on-foot delivery missions just to push some influence, because It turns out it's a very efficient, it's like running election courier missions. You can knock off 5 or 6 three influence missions, you know, in an hour probably or less. So as soon as I got there, one of the new recruits for the unnamed operation, Clickbait, was around and hanging out, and we both ended up at the same surface installation. So in my glee of having organic multiplayer, I jumped on top of his vulture and was standing on top of his vulture when it took off. Anyone who's tried to do that would have warned me that I was going to die because I died.
Yeah.
And apparently, I'm not entirely sure what the Elite Dangerous TFG Catch-22 was, but something about, I think, failing a mission that had me returning some kind of object or delivering some kind of object made my failure into a crime?
No, no, like, I promise you the TFG moment was dying by standing on a ship was the crime.
Oh, really? That was enough to get me transported?
Yeah, that sounds
That sounds, right. I don't know for sure, but that sounds very FDev.
Yeah. So I woke up 3,400 light years from where I started. For the crime of standing on someone's ship and dying that way.
Probably with no ship.
Exactly, with no ship. So I transferred, and I didn't have that account, did not have a long-distance travel-worthy ship. So I transferred 2 Dolphins, basically 2 half-built ships. It took 9.5 hours for them to get there. Oof. Once they got there, I flew to the nearest station that had a shipyard and outfitting and cobbled together a long-range Dolphin and then headed back for NGC 6188 Sector LC-VC2-28.
Yeah, this is the name of the system underneath it here, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yep. That's a long-ass name. So anybody who might be listening and wants to go out there and flip the system in favor of the consortium. It's NGC 6188 Sector LC-V.
It's in the show notes.
28. It's in the show notes.
It's in the show notes.
So I had got my ship with a fuel scoop, and I've never actually done the Neutron Highway thing before. I took that same Dolphin to Colonia on PlayStation a couple of years ago and did it without any neutron jumps. Just did jump and scoop. And it was great fun. I had a great time. It took me around an hour to make it back. The first system I got to, the first neutron system away from that jail, is fantastic. It's got a binary neutron star.
Oh yeah, those are awesome.
Two of them that orbit each other very closely around a huge bright white star and quite close to it. So you're just bathed in white light the second you drop into the system, and then you've got this double shotgun barrels of neutron stars to charge yourself up on. And it's just great. It's worth getting sent to jail almost just to stop at that system on your way back home.
Yeah, I think I'm going to jump out there. I'll probably just go ahead and jump my fleet carrier out there. I need to buy some tritium. I would like to go out there. It's also
a beautiful system. It's in the middle of a nebula, so the sky is great. It's got – the things aren't too far apart. There's one set of planets at about 1,000, one at about 3,000, and then one station inside an asteroid.
I'm getting a little bit of an exploration bug, too, a bunch of surface stuff.
There's a lot to explore out there. I mean, it is far from the bubble. Now that I'm out there, I've been doing a lot of deliverator stuff, you know, flying around, jumping across the installation to find the person I have to give the package to. I'm basically just a consortium bag man now at this point, flying in my 870-meter-a-second courier.
He's a mule.
Playing FedEx, yeah.
Yeah, he's a mule.
I know Daxius has been doing settlement massacres, killing the miners, and I just started with my Boobtron account doing murder hobo around the compromised navigation beacon.
So essentially you guys have been playing Hitman for the consortium.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, I can,
it was all Adaxia's idea. And it's funny how fast influence moves in a system with only two factions. That's why it is a funny little sandbox, because you've got these two really generically named factions, one of them significant enough that it's in the Codex, though it doesn't seem to have any connection. There's a legendary ruler head of the crime family who made their fame by just being brutal and killing anybody who crossed them, and being like, Medellin cartel level of violent. And nobody knows who runs it now, if that person is 130 years old or if somebody else has taken over. And that's kind of all the Codex entry says, but there's a Codex entry for it. So there's something somehow significant to whatever's going on out in the black in this weird little system.
We think,
we don't know. Well, but maybe if we force the issue, then maybe something will happen.
Right. This is how you find out.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, yeah, that has a history of happening, sure.
Yeah. Or it'll just become a little pirate haven out there where you can come and massacre settlements. And then when we inevitably have to push the influence back up, it'll take a day and a half instead of 3 weeks of slogging and campaigning.
Right. Cool.
Yeah. Good stuff.
All right, so you guys ready to hop on the Tim Hattium Express?
Let's do it.
As soon as I find the stupid...
Let me do it. I'll do it.
Oh, my God. I know. I found it. I found it. Okay. I found it.
On the board, the Tim Hattium Express!
Rumblings of a mutiny continue, because apparently some of the crew didn't like the spacing of the co-workers. They only got spaced because I hit the wrong button. They were supposed to die via auto turrets, but no, they can't understand that accidents happen, nor appreciate improvisation. Some people.
Pathetic.
Anyways, we have last week's news articles to cover, so let's get started. June 26th, presidential candidates hold live debate. Good news, it only takes humanity 1,000 more years to let an independent candidate on the debate stage.
They ask you how you are, and you just have to say that you're fine.
June 29th, mining initiative begins in Kokolor. Raw materials are needed to keep industries alive.
We require more minerals.
Side note, some people are excited about this community goal. They are wrong and should be publicly shamed. June 30th, Thargoid War Update for the month of June. I wonder how long they'll keep publishing these until they're word-for-word copies of each other.
You've seen this before?
11 times, as a matter of fact.
That's all I have for you this week. Have fun out there.
Oh, that was another good one from Bard.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Bard. Always appreciate that. And he always puts a lot of good work into those. Always makes me at least chuckle. At best, belly laugh. So,
yes.
Good job, buddy. Let's see. What do we got next? We have any dev news or an exploration report?
We do not.
So. No, so I don't get to play my salt sound clip. What is this sound clip? I haven't heard this one before.
Oh, no.
Old Chick Donald had a farm. IYDLITFU. And on this farm he had a clops. IYDLITFU. With a here and a there, here, a, there, a, everywhere. Old Chick Donald had a farm. IYDLITFU. Old Chick.
You hadn't heard that one yet?
I had not, no.
Oh, that's fantastic. Hilarious. It's fantastic. You got to listen to the whole thing.
Yes. I actually didn't mean to cut it off there. but I'll listen to it later. Moving on. here's a discussion that I put in. Because I'm curious about what everybody's answer is. So, like, what are some of your favorite things that you found when you've been out exploring out in the black? Like when you went out on expedition, or even if it was just a few light years from the bubble. Or even if you went all the way across the galaxy, like what are some things that you found I'll tell you one of my favorite ones real quick is I found this when we're out on the first distance cruise towards the center of the galaxy. I was out exploring and I found this planet and it was green and it had these red canyons on it. And I took a picture. I landed inside one of the canyons and took some screenshots and it looked like I landed inside a watermelon. So that's the watermelon planet I found near the center of the galaxy. I have it bookmarked somewhere on my galaxy map. But like, what? That's just one of the cool things that I found. What else have you guys found?
Some of the notable stellar phenomenon are pretty wild. I don't know what they call the giant spiky things that float in clouds that look like caltrops. But those things are neat and huge.
Those things are really cool. I've only ever been among them one time. And I think it was a nebula. I think it was somebody else that already discovered it. But like, it was the first time I'd ever seen it in game. So I had to, when I saw it on the scanner, I was like, I got to fly out and see it.
Yeah, I did the exact same thing. Jumped into a system in the middle of nowhere, popped up with a notable interstellar phenomenon. Like, oh, yeah, I've got to fly the 40,000 light seconds out to see that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's totally worth it. My big thing when I go out exploring is I'm looking for cool screenshots. I want to take cool screenshots. I really go out just to see what I can find and to, you know, do good pictures.
Yeah.
I used to share them on Twitter. I'm gonna have to find a different place for them now. you got any good ones, Boob?
I'm just thinking about the what happens to the sky while you're going out to Colonia. If you're doing it in your own ship as opposed to the fleet carrier version, you see it's a little bit like seeing the Rockies. If you've ever driven west toward the Rocky Mountains, like you get to the edge of Nebraska and you can see the mountains and you're like, hey, we're almost there. And then like 6 hours later, you can still just kind of barely see the mountains and you're like, hey, we're almost there. There's a point on the road to Colonia where the stars start to bunch up and you get kind of a line like you're going to fly into a big cube full of stars. And then you eventually get out there and it really is kind of like you've flown into a big cube full of stars. The stars are so close together and you go to the Gal map and there are 200 systems that you could make a single jump to because everything is packed in so close.
That is neat.
Just seeing how different it feels when you're that surrounded by stars. It's worth the trip for sure.
I'm honestly thinking about taking my fleet carrier out to Colonia sometime soon.
It's cool out there.
I've been thinking about that. I was thinking about that earlier this week.
Yeah, I haven't been out there in a long time. I've been thinking about doing that too.
Yeah, it's been a few years out there. So
I wish it would have changed more since we've been out there. You know, I wish it could be, you know, the restaurants have changed and there's a new off ramp and a bunch of new subdivisions have been built and, you know, there are new systems that have gotten populated. I don't think any of that's really has really changed along the way, but it's still worth a visit for sure.
Well, looky.
How did you get out of my basement, Chig?
A wild Chig has appeared.
Oh, no. I mean, yay.
Chig, how did you get out of the basement? I had you and Trax locked down there. How did you get out?
Well, I had to sacrifice somebody.
Did you saw your leg off like I told you in that video?
No, he saw Trax. He saw Trax's leg off.
Well, I just thought I'd stop in real quick. I can't stay for very long. I just thought I'd stop and say hi, everybody. And remember, we didn't dump that tea into the ocean because of taxes. We did it because tea sucks. America.
Was that on the 4th of July?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, we're not a British colony anymore.
I know.
Don't stop him. He's on a roll.
Yeah. But just wait. I'm sure I'm going to get some hate for that tomorrow.
I'm sure you will.
So. The Boston Tea Party didn't happen on the 4th of July. But, I mean, it's never, it's... Facts have never stopped an American yet. So,
but I'm just saying, our independence was from those tea drinking people. At least I call them people.
One day you're going to open a package in the mail and there's just going to be a fish on a stick swing out and smack you in the face.
Yeah, and it'll smell like most British people.
He lives in Minnesota. That's every day. They have like 10,000 lakes there.
Yeah, I hopped on just to take shots at Burr, I guess. I don't know. Sorry, Burr and Rainey.
I like
What are we talking about? What did I interrupt?
We were just talking about, you know, some of the favorite things, our favorite things we found when we were out exploring. You know, for instance, I was going to bring up, if Dubs were here, he'd probably mention how many ringed Earth-like worlds he's found over Chig.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
Why would you bring that up?
Because Dubs isn't here to do it, and you're in here.
Oh, God damn it. Yeah, I think he has two under his belt now, doesn't he?
Yeah,
I've never found one. And I've traveled way freaking farther than he has. Yeah, fuck that
guy. He's just got the touch, man.
Yeah, a little bit.
What are some of the favorite things you found out there, Chig?
Clearly not ringed Earth-like worlds.
Yeah, not Earth's ring-like worlds. I don't know. Okay, the notable stellar phenomena are always fun to run into.
That's what Nurgle was talking about when... on his.
Yeah, and it's just kind of random. All of a sudden, you'll just see one, and it's like, what's that? And then you'll look at it, and, oh, I've seen a bunch of those. But it is neat the first time you find one. And
Yeah. And we had that we had one time where we were out, and Hate found this really oval-shaped gas giant because it had a lot of gravity, and it made it look like an oval.
I remember that, scope. Yeah.
So we flew out there to see that, and it looked like a potato.
Yeah, potato worlds are pretty cool. Also, I don't know, when you're plant gunning, just finding neat, you know, vistas on planets that you can see, you know, either cool valleys or neat mountains or cool sunrises. There's a lot of cool stuff out there now.
Oh, yeah. I know. Anytime I found rain trees, that's always really cool.
Yeah. Yes. I know last year I had found some system that had like 84 gas giants in it.
Jesus.
God damn.
Well, excuse me. No, it had 84 bodies. It had like 22 gas giants. But, you know, it's just, you look at the system map and it's just gas giant after gas giant after gas giant after gas giant all the way out.
That's still a lot of gas giants.
It is. It's huge.
I was coming back from prison the other night. You know, we're out doing this consortium stuff. And on the way back, I tried to hop really fast, but I still honk. I came across a system with 78 bodies in it, so then I had to stop and take a look, and there was like four gas giants in there with at least 8 moons. Wow. So then you always think of that whole dark wheel thing, you know, 8th moon around a gas giant, and I'm like, I'm out in the middle of fucking nowhere, there's no chance that it's there, but I still went and mapped the 8th moon of each one of those gas giants just in case.
Because you know, if you didn't,
it would be the one.
It would be the one.
And nobody else would ever go there.
Yeah, but I mean, an undiscovered 78, you know, body system, I still had to, you know, get my name on everything. So I had to FSS the whole thing and then go out to those moons. But yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's cool. And yeah, that, speaking of coming back from jail, that system that I found, the first neutron out of the Rock of Isolation, is an amazing little system. It's got another unpronounceable name with like 17 numbers in it. But a triple neutron system where the two are just so close, they're almost touching each other in a binary right up against this huge class B blue-white star. And then there are like 6 gas giants. They don't have a lot of moons, but just the sight of it when you show up, this kind of vortex of spiraling neutron stars, is just, yeah, breathtaking. Coolest thing I've seen in the game in quite a while.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know. And one of the coolest things, too, is when you come into a system and you fly through the first star and stop behind the second star that's right next to it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's always a great brown pants moment.
Yeah. Like, and, oh, shit. And if you take the trip all the way out to Sag A, that first time you see Sag A is pretty special.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. And it's a lot of fun going out there. I really got to get back there because, like, my absolute favorite station is the one right out there by Sag A. What's it called again?
Explorer's Anchorage.
Thank you. I couldn't think of it if I wanted to, if I was trying to.
Yeah.
Yeah, Explorer's Anchorage. It's my favorite thing. Because I remember being out on distance cruise and I just go and sitting there waiting for people to meet up at Explorer's Anchorage and you just sit there and watching the station kill beluga after beluga after beluga. It gets caught in the thing. There's pieces of beluga flying all over the station. It's where belugas go to die.
It's the beluga graveyard.
I'm going to take my exploration beluga out there.
Just to die. All
right. Yep, just to
die.
It was a rite of passage, I guess.
That's good stuff. Yeah, I exploring is fun. Like just being out at this system that we're at, I explored on my way out, you know, went to any bio sites I saw and, you know, any system that was undiscovered. And, you know, people who say you got to get so far away from the bubble to discover stuff. I was less than 1,000 before I hit my first system that was undiscovered.
Yeah, that's not true. You can easily do it, well, under 1,000. You could do it probably under 200.
Yep. Yeah, if you're diligent, you're bouncing around, you know, absolutely.
Really, you spend your first half a session or so going up or down off the galactic plane, and then you're wandering through stuff nobody's ever seen pretty quickly.
Yeah, just don't do a straight line to a very popular nebula or a straight line to Colonia, and you can find stuff really easy. Just drop 200 up or down and then go, and you're fine.
Exactly.
And it doesn't have to be up or down. Just move, left or right from the path, a popular path, and you're fine.
Yeah, anything off the straight line.
You'll put your name on a bunch of stuff.
Go explore the other 99% of the galaxy.
Yes, indeed. But I did actually just hop in just to say hi, guys, and say hi to people listening to the show, and I guess make fun of British people. Have fun working tomorrow, losers. And I think that's the last one I got.
Okay. Well,
welcome back.
Yeah, you get back down in the basement now. Okay. Yep, go put the restraints back on your ankle.
Back into your pit.
I figured I need to give enough hate to be sent at me so they will love you guys forever. But
put the ball gag back in.
Do some consortium stuff later. You guys did talk about all of that, right?
Yes. We covered it. Yeah.
Okay.
That place needs a nickname.
You know what? I'm hosting here. I don't need you shooing in here giving me fucking directions.
I can only say NGC 6188 sector LC-VC2-28 so many more times, right? We need a nickname for that system.
I've been going with Daxi's Folly for a while. So
I'm just going to go with
fucking idea.
I'm just going to go with Steve's system.
I'll just call it the basement.
The basement. There you go.
That'll work.
Yeah. You're back in the basement.
All right. I'm off to the basement.
See you in the basement,
Jig. Oh, and by the way, every time I get a crash report, when I get a hard crash now and I get the crash report option and it asks for a description, I just type TFG, just every single one. They're eventually going to be like, what the fuck is TFG? And hopefully somebody explains it to them.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the memes in our community now.
Absolutely.
They listen to the show. They know. They closet listen to the show.
Oh, shit. I'm going to start doing Motor T Stete instead every time.
Motor T Stete. Oh, that'll just... TFG, by the way, drank Motor T Stete.
Yes, making an ad for Motor T Stete every time I crash. Now I'm going to root for more crashes.
You would.
I would. All right. Good night, guys. Thanks for
watching.
Yep. Bye.
And the wild chick is gone.
TFG. Yeah, he went to go back down to the basement, reshackle himself. moving on. So, you know what? Since we were just talking about favorite things we've done, we found out exploring out there listening, put in Chig Chat this week some of your favorite things that you found while exploring or some cool stuff you've seen or found or done while out exploring out in the black. I would love to hear it.
That's a good idea.
I'll take screenshots, too. I love that stuff. I love that shit. All right. You guys ready to get into the ending stuff? Okay.
Let's sling some cheese and talk some movies.
Cheese of the week is pepper jack cheese because I had it on some sandwiches today, and it was delicious. And if you don't know, it is pepper jack cheese is a derivative of Monterey Jack cheese, and it's flavored with sweet peppers, rosemary, habanero chilies, and garlic and spicy jalapenos. So it's actually not terribly spicy. The description makes it sound way spicier than what it is. It's got just enough kick, and it's awesome, and it's great.
It can be a good pizza.
Go have some on the sandwich, or just eat some off the block.
My local pizza place, that was my standard for a long time, was to get pepper jack on the pizza.
Ooh, that sounds really good.
Works quite
that
well,
does yeah. sound good.
I'm going to have to do that.
I like it melted over fries.
Mm. Ooh.
That'd be really good, too.
Yes, it is. Damn, now I'm hungry.
Okay.
Movies.
Next thing, Unity Corner. Burr Pit on in Nottingham, England on September 16th. There is a Discord link. I'm sure it's going to be in the show notes, probably.
Yes.
Goes to the Burr Pit Discord or something to do with PitCon, probably for you to make reservations or buy tickets or.
That is correct. Works. That is correct. We talked about that last week, too.
I would love to go to Burr Pit.
That would be cool.
I would, too, yeah.
I saw Psykit and her folks had a lovely get-together over the weekend, too. They went to a pub someplace and had folks came from all over the, I don't know, multiple aisles or not, but from all over England, at least. I saw Bernardo was there and a few other people I recognized from streams and whatnot, but they had a nice little get together. And then isn't there also the elite community meetup or something like that? I think coming up this summer, one other in the UK, another actual physical get together for.
All right. That means
elite,
there are
dangerous folks.
That means there are at least three get togethers in the UK. It is upon us to put together one in the USA.
Well, we keep talking about maybe doing a ScrewCon, but we'd have to come up with a better name, and it would likely just be held at Denny's.
You're not wrong. Or a Waffle House.
Only if it's in the only if it's in the South.
We just take over a Waffle House for the evening.
Yeah, but if you do that, you got to fight with somebody.
Yeah, that's true. I don't want to be king of the Waffle House.
I don't either. I don't have that. Like, if I was 25, maybe, but
yeah, not too these old days. For that. Well, we determined this afternoon, as we were talking about this a little bit in the Discord. We determined this afternoon that geographically, either Nashville or Memphis would be as close to Central, at least for the American players. Sorry, Grover. As we could probably get. So that would be interesting to do Nashville or Memphis.
Yeah, I suppose so, because we've got a big concentration in Ohio, we've got a decent concentration in the Southeast.
We could just do Ohio.
No.
No fair. We can't
do Ohio.
For everybody.
That's something we'll have to talk about. Maybe doing sometime. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
Moving on. Movie anniversaries. Nurgle, you do it.
All right, so 10 years
ago. I'm in charge.
All right. So 10 years ago, we have Despicable Me 2. So not the good one. 20 years ago.
I don't even know if I've seen that one.
Trust me, if you have, you forgot. It was that good. You just completely forgettable. 20 years ago, we have Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines.
Speaking of forgettable.
Meh. And also 20 years ago, we have Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl.
That one's great.
That one's
the first
very
one, right?
good.
That's, yeah, that is good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the first
man, one. I can't believe that was 20 years ago. Oh, my God.
I wouldn't have thought that and Terminator 3 landed at the same time.
Yeah, opened the same week. Yep.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, basically a week apart, but yeah.
Is that the one where Arnold Schwarzenegger is hanging off the semi-truck in one of the scenes as it runs into stuff? Is that the one with the female liquid Terminator?
I don't know. Two is the one with the liquid Terminator.
A machine. What?
Two is the one with the liquid Terminator, right?
Yeah, but that one's the male cop guy.
The guy.
The third one was like the blonde.
I don't know.
I can't remember anybody's name.
There's been so many of those, and they were so forgettable.
They should have stopped at two.
They probably should have stopped at one, but two was a credible sequel.
Two was what?
A credible sequel.
Oh, yeah. Two was great.
I don't know if I'd say great, but we'll roll with that.
All right. Well, you guys talk amongst yourselves while I get the bot ready.
I got it. Remember, you got to turn the choke on and then pull.
I'll remember that.
As the Teflon bot warms up, Tef just got him fixed.
You don't have an electric starter for that yet?
Yeah. He just got it switched to a pull start from the Kickstarter.
That's right. That's right.
Teflon bot loading. Buffering. 33%. 62%. 97%. If you like the show, please rate and review on your podcast player, which helps people find the show. Join us on Discord at discord.io/loosecrews and check out the merch store at loosecrewsed.com for mugs, t-shirts, hoodies, and more. And you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/loosecrewsed. Thank you for listening. I'm sorry, Chig. I can't do that.
Brilliant. Best part of the show.
Absolutely. All right. Everybody say goodnight.
I got a programming for Motorcistete in there.
Even that's better. True. Everybody say Motorcistete.
Motorcistete. You know, I'm hosting. Everybody say goodbye. Nurgle, hit the button.
Goodbye.
Hit the button, Nurgle.